when my daughter was very young, not even two. She was convinced every person should wear shoes in their favorite color. Because why not? Why wouldn't you? She loved pink, so she wanted pink shoes. Mommy loves red, so she should get red shoes. So when Rose asked her what they should get me for Christmas that year, she said, Daddy loves orange, so we should get him orange shoes. And I was serving a big, well-to-do church in Georgia at the time, the kind in which a simple suit or a dress was the baseline. And the little old ladies would keep track of how shined the priest's shoes were. So helpful, right? Very helpful. And as the assistant, you know, I drew the smaller crowd of the Christmas Day service. I don't know if you noticed here. We celebrated the feast of the Incarnation with great joy. And below this very alb were these orange shoes. I shared how thankful I was that my daughter gave me these orange shoes and how much I wanted to please her. I never heard about my choice of footwear again. This time of year, we often hear about the true meaning of Christmas. We even use those words, the true meaning of Christmas. And I wonder if we love what Christmas actually reveals. That God breaks into the world, or more importantly, that God is embedded in the cosmos, and we treat her so poorly. That from the beginning of everything, God was, and God is, and God will be. Revealing to our ancestors that God will be there howsoever God will be there. God is bringing a new people, a new creation. God stays with us when we don't deserve it. The whole arc of our tradition reveals a God so generous and a people so vain and selfish. Now, this year I've been talking about the ancient pattern of worshiping the full Christmas cycle, that our ancestors gathered at the setting sun, in dark, at dawn, and then in the light of the new day, where we are now. This, for me, was a great joy because each part is important to me now. Each part has its own gospel story, too. At dusk, at the beginning, we start with the genealogy of Matthew, which is an odd place to start, particularly those familiar through the Charlie Brown Christmas special. You get this sense of weird list of all of these names, 14, then 14, then 14. But we also get embedded in those stories, these challenges and these hardships, these things that we would not look at if we were being in our right mind, right? We would not look at these things. And Matthew is particularly different than Luke. In Luke's version, you just have all the men. Straight on down, just takes the genealogy and plays it straight. And Matthew reminds us of all those places in which the men screwed up and it's the women who saved us. It reminds us of those places with all the sordid details of our past, the things we had to do to survive, or those times in which our survival was a miracle in spite of ourselves. So we start knowing at the dusk, at going into the night, that this is a long night, and to arrive at morning, we must see the night for what it is. And then in the second gathering at night, we would hear the birth and announcement to the shepherds from Luke, the one that we are really familiar with. And you would have that short birth story and that much longer section about the shepherds. And there's something really potent if you're thinking about it, if you've been going through Advent, and if you're remembering this story in the first chapter of Luke when you get into the second chapter. In the first chapter, you have these angel visitations, and the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and to Elizabeth, Zechariah, right? The angel makes these pronouncements to this royal family, royal adjacent, right? And then the angel comes to these shepherds out in the field, people who don't deserve the angel to show up. And the angel shows up and says, the world is changing right now. This night, you're out here in the fields, it's cold, huddling with the sheep to try and stay warm. The world's changing in the midst of that. And then we gather at dawn when the light is just starting to peek through the inky black, right? And that's when we would hear the second part of that, the part in which the shepherds go and show up, right? And they show up to see what's happening. They act on it. And they don't just show up. The story keeps going from there because it becomes their story, right? So they take the story that they have received from those angels to go and find out about it, and then they go. And they tell. It's great. And then they would gather in the light of day, and they'd hear the prologue to John, like we have. For this great night that has passed, we read John as the culmination of everything we've witnessed. The darkness didn't overcome the light, it came. Because that is what God does. But it's so hard for us to remember that God never left. That God is with us and has been from the beginning. It reminds us that this is of God. And also that our rebellious God, our God is a rebellious God who zigs when we zag, goes high when we go low, and also goes weak when we demand God be strong. God goes nurturing when we demand a stern rebuke. God reveals the word in a baby when the world expects a king. And God offers us a world of generosity when we fear for scarcity. Love when we are full of sorrow. Hope when we are stuck in our ways. The Christmas story is a story of comfort for the suffering, but also a provocation for the comfortable, because God cares more for love and justice than order. Hope and joy than fear and hatred. And God is not above bending the rules. These are God's rules. God gets to make new ones. I recently heard that Saint Nicholas was the saint of the first 1,000 years, the big saint of the first 1,000 years. Of Christianity, kind of like Francis has been the saint of the last 1,000 years, the one everybody loved. And many of us know some of the different stories about Nicholas, maybe we don't, and we at least know that he is the father of Christmas. But he was made a bishop at a very young age, at a time when you didn't live that long anyway. We might know that he was extremely generous. We may remember stories of coins, right? The gold coins and the giving of coins. But one part of the story struck me because it was the first time that I actually heard the words. Like someone actually uttered the words that cut through the hazy, gauzy version of the story. I mean, the speaker was Alexander Shaya, and he was talking about the true meaning of Christmas is born from the self-sacrificial act of Nicholas. Because he would collect these gold coins during this time of great poverty to give to young women and the fathers of young women and girls so that they could have a dowry. Because what would happen to a girl or a young woman who didn't have a dowry? They would be sold. They would be sold ultimately to be a sex slave, where they would be raped and they would suffer. So the giving of these coins at great sacrifice to himself, he died in poverty, meant that these girls and women had a future. And not just in the way that we talk about it with, well, do they get a chance to go to college? Do they get a chance to have the life of their dreams? It means to actually have a life that isn't miserable, completely tormented. So that is Christmas. That is the heart and the root of Christmas. So we gather together as this small communion this morning, when we could all be somewhere else. I mean, let's admit it. I may be the only one with the youngest kids in the room, unwrapping and feasting or just sleeping in. Oh my gosh, that'd feel good. Oh, 5:30, they were waking us up. But we're here because we know the birth of Jesus isn't the whole story, right? It's a great story, but it's not the whole story. There is so much more that we're in the middle. Many chapters have been written and many more are to come, but we're God's writing partners of the story. In giving love and hope to one another, sharing in what they long for, not just us. Tapping into the wisdom of our children and the ignorance of our elders. Offering ourselves like Christ to a new creation, a new world born of love and rebellion. A love rebellion colored by gold coins and high tops.